Once again, we welcome you to the house of the Lord. We thank the Lord for his faithfulness and for his kindness.
And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. All because of what the Lord has done for us. On today, give thanks.
We have much to thank God for.
Give thanks.
Sing with me one more time from the top. Give thanks and say,
give thanks. With a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks, for he has given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks. For he has given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Use your hands, use your mouth. You may even want to use your feet. Give God thanks today for his love and for his patience and for his kindness. But one more time, we welcome you to the house of the Lord on this, the fourth Sunday in December 2020. Wow. We made it through another year, everybody. We made it so far. We made it. We give God thanks for that. Keeping us all that we need God to be, plus more in this year. We give God thanks for that. For sure, for sure, for sure. We celebrate God for that. Before we jump into our sermon for the day, there are a few things I want to acknowledge and make sure that we are aware of. Please give attention to the app, to the church app, as well as to our email system. For you, you will be receiving notification about our next family meeting. We have some great things about to happen here at One Church in 2021, so I don't want you to miss out on anything, on any of it. So please keep up with your app as well as check your emails for information that will be coming up. Next month in January, we have what we call Solemn Assembly. So it's our prayer that you are doing your part to prepare yourselves spiritually, physically, and mentally for our season of fasting, which will begin next Sunday at sundown, and it will end on the 31st at sunup. We'll break the fast, breakfast. We'll break the fast at breakfast on the 31st. So fasting time as a church will begin for the spring part of the year. I'm closing out winter, going into the spring. Sunday, January the 3rd, at sundown, and the fast will break at breakfast on the 5th Sunday, the 31st, all right? Next year, the Lord spoke clearly to me that next year will be the year of reset for us. Everybody say back at me, reset. Yes, reset. 1 Peter 5 and 10, the apostle writes this and says, and after you have suffered a little while, God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So next year we'll be in a year of reset. So as we begin our first series of the year on next Sunday, the first series will be entitled, Reset Our Church. reset our church. There have been many things that transpire in 2020 that has caused the church with a capital C to relook at some of its core beliefs. So we're going to take some time and really, really dig deep on what we are supposed to be believing and how we need to reset going in 2021 as the capital C, the body of Christ, the Catholic, the universal church. So we're going to have a great time with that beginning, on next Sunday. All right. Please keep in mind all of our siblings and members that are dealing with illnesses and that are grieving still with bereavements. Keep them in your prayers, and that God will continue to be their help, their strength, that they will continue to allow God to be their help and their strength in times like these. All right. Once again, everybody, this is the last Sunday of 2020. Last Sunday, wow. And it's my prayer that in the midst of disappointments, in the midst of grief, in the midst of pain, we can find a place in our hearts to celebrate and to be thankful for the grace and the mercy of God. We have so much to be appreciative of. And for many things this morning, I wanted to make sure we take a moment to celebrate the truth. And the truth is, in spite of it all that's happened this year and years prior, we are still here. And we're here for a purpose, for a design and reason that God has for us. And that's a fact, that we're still here. So may God be praised that God has allowed us to see this Sunday and to see us closing out this year prayerfully, the precipice of moving into 2021. We give God thanks for that. We have been trusted with this fact that this information regarding Mary, Joseph, and even these shepherds, as we were introduced to these shepherds on last week in the series that we have been in for December entitled Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. And we've seen some things along this journey as they went from Nazareth to Bethlehem and the nuances of their journey. We've noticed as we've gone through this that they both had a response. Mary and Joseph both had a response of yes to God. In their response of yes to God, they understood, they believed that God had a destined destination for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. So they said yes to God about that, and God gave them the bandwidth and the stamina for Mary being pregnant to make this journey, this 90-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. We also saw within this that in the midst of this, that God ordained the circumstances where Caesar Augustus would be emperor of Rome at the right time to put a census on the people to make sure that God's prophecy would be satisfied for Mary and Joseph to be in Bethlehem, so that the baby would be born there in Bethlehem. All these nuances we've seen in this passage of Luke chapter 2 also, that once they got to Bethlehem, the accommodations were not befitting for what we would think a Savior would be born in, but it fulfilled the prophecy of Jesus being born in Bethlehem, wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger, which is a picture of Jesus' life, because Christ never had a home. And we dealt with that on last week. Also last week, we were introduced to these shepherds. Shepherds and this angel, and the scripture describes in verse number 14, which is our core passage for this series. It says, this angel and these heavenly hosts, they praise God, saying this: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Wow. So on today, in this final entry, in this final Sunday of 2020, the title of our sermon is a question. I'm going to pose a question to us, and it's my prayer by the time we end this, we will all be on the same page with an affirmative response to this question. And the question is, are you ready? The question is, do you really believe? Do you really believe? Listen, can you give God thanks for our band that's consistently here, our singers, our media, and for all the work they did for our first campfire Christmas this past week? We had a great time for setting up. Y'all, it was 32 degrees by the time we were done. Some know that more than others, right? True statement, right? 32 degrees, and they were out there packing up things. And we celebrate all our band singers and media, our deacons and elders that were out there. We want to take a moment to really celebrate Elder Castile for working with the fabrication of our stage and getting all that done with our welders and then the work that he did. It takes a team for the dream to work. Amen? So on today, the title of our sermon once again is, Do You Really Believe? Do you really believe? So I want to start by asking a question. Here's my question. Outside of do you really believe, I want to know, what do you believe? What is it that you really say that you believe? In 2020, we experienced a lot of things that were disappointing. We had some disappointing realities when it comes to people, when it comes to circumstances, and we've had to reevaluate the things that we say that we believe. So I have to ask you a question again. What do you believe? As we close this year, I want to challenge us to take the time this week to sit down and write some I believe statements, such as I believe God is, or I believe my life is, or I believe my body is. Write down some belief statements, because it's in these statements that I believe that if we write them down and think them through, they will hold us fast and focused to what it is, our foundation of our spiritual disciplines and our spiritual formation of what it is that we believe. Who do we believe in, and why do we say we believe what we say we believe? Today, if we truly believe, I believe that there ought to be something that is produced out of our belief system. If we say that we believe something, something ought to be produced out of us. And to believe means to accept as the truth and to act upon it. You with me? To believe is to accept something as the truth and to act upon it. So as you think about your life for 2020, think about your life on today. Can you honestly say about yourself that you believe what you say you believe? Because if you say you believe something, that means that it should be producing something out of our lives. So I have to ask the question again, do you really believe? Here we have Mary, Joseph, and these shepherds. Apparently, all three of them believed God's word because something was produced out of their lives. I would haste to the edge of the stage this morning and to remind us that the Christian church today, we look like we are schizophrenic because it's hard to tell what we as a collective being, what we believe, because we have different belief systems out there, and instead of the church standing on the belief and the word of God, we have partnered with all these extra systems out here. And so we look like we don't even know what we believe. So I have to ask you on a personal level, what do you believe? Do you really believe? Mary, Joseph, these shepherds had to have believed God's word from this angel, because the next movements from their lives is to show forth of the fact that they believe because they acted upon the truth. So I'm going to ask you a question one more time. Do you believe? Please write out your I believe statements. You don't know what 2021 is going to hold for us. What we found out in 2020 is that we don't have control over absolutely nothing. So if you don't have your foundation firm in what you believe, there's a great chance you may fall victim to the earthquakes of life. But I'm going to challenge you to know what you believe and know why you believe what you believe. Anatole France said it like this, to accomplish great things, we must not only act, but also dream. Not only plan, but also believe. Everything starts with what you believe. So in our passage, we see Mary, Joseph, and these shepherds. They believe. How do I know believe? Because in verses number 16 it says, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. See, moving because you believe. If you believe, you will move, you will show forth some actions because of what you are holding now to be true. So these shepherds, now you have to understand these shepherds, once again, I believe we brought this up on last week, that these shepherds were the lowest on the totem pole in the social existence there in Bethlehem. Shepherds were considered to be ceremonially unclean because they could not go to sacrifice and to worship because being a shepherd was a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job. So they never could go to go and worship and to sacrifice. So they were considered ceremonially unclean. But out of all the people God could have gotten attention of to tell about the birth of his son, God chose these shepherds. And so the text says, so they hurried off. Everybody say back at me, they hurried off. So this is the idea that they went with haste, acceleration. They put their foot to the pedal to the metal, and they started moving fast to go and tell everybody what they had experienced. Here they are to see this baby lying in a manger. So the idea here is these shepherds believed, and so they had an expectation to see what the angel told them they were going to see. You see, many of us, everybody has an expectation. We do. Now, either expectation is that we doubt and we don't think it's going to happen, or expectation is we believe that it is so. So where is your expectation level today? If we're not careful, we will put God in the same playing field as our decision making, because we have made bad decisions. We have a hard time trusting God. I found that quite interesting. Driving in this morning, the line for Starbucks was almost on 287. And so I said to myself, self, here they are in line believing this next cup of Joe is going to taste like the last cup they had. And some will get to the window because it's a different barista there. It's not going to taste the same. But they believed it so much that they waited in line on a good Sunday morning. Some of you waited in line trying to get that PS5. And you believe that by the time you sit in line for 5 hours, once you got to that door, they won't let you in. But you found out that your belief did not produce anything because they did not have any of the game systems left. But here we are, having experienced the encounter of God for ourselves, and yet we have a hard time believing that what God said is so. I want to challenge us this morning that if we say and we're going to believe who God is and what God says, it means we got to do some moving. We got to get from this place to the place where God is telling us to go. The glory in this is that these shepherds moved to go and see Jesus. They had a choice here, just like you have a choice. They could have stayed there with the sheep and lingered around with the sheep, or they could go see Jesus Christ. Here's the ironic thing, the beautiful thing about these shepherds, that it's been said historically, you can find this in historical proof, that these shepherds around Bethlehem, they actually were shepherds to the sheep that they would use for the slaughter. So when it was time to sacrifice, and we know that the Jewish people, they sacrificed daily. So it was these shepherds They're outside of Bethlehem that were taking care of the sheep that they would use for the sacrifices. But isn't it interesting how God would use these shepherds that were normally herding sheep to go and see the lamb that would take their jobs away, because Christ is the lamb that's blood would be satisfied, so there would be no more sacrifices. I just think that's interesting, everybody. So I want to put on your minds again that if you believe, we must move because of our belief. I don't know what God has said to you personally. I don't know what God has said to you as a husband, as a father, as a brother, whatever position you have in life. But what we must not do is remain stagnant and stay where we are. We've got to move because God is trying to show us something. Do y'all see that? God wanted these shepherds to get to Bethlehem to see this baby. God is trying to show you something, and you will not be able to see it if you don't grow in your faith and believe God's word. You ought to be able to count back and look back and see how many more scriptures you've learned this year, because you're moving. You're accelerating. Your faith ought to be a little bit stronger this year because you have trusted God. Your will to not lean on your own understanding ought to be stronger because you are moving by faith. Now, don't look at verse 17. It says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. So now, if you're going to believe, your belief should produce something. So not only should you move, but seeing what you believe. Here it is. They see what it is they came looking for. You with me? So because their eyes had experience, they believed even more so. Listen, I can you imagine how many are walking around choosing to turn from God? Mm-hmm. How many have experienced the power of God, yet making decisions to not be convinced of God and God's power in their lives? You see, all of us have a choice to make. If we don't move from where God wants us to be to where he wants us to go, we will never see what God wants us to see. Your faith is not real faith until you start acting upon it. These shepherds left the parameter of Bethlehem and went into the city. And in the city, they saw what they were believing. Man, I want some of us to really get this morning, that many things that we have been praying and waiting on God to deliver for us, his provisions are already there, but we just have to get to the place to see it. Think back in Genesis chapter 12. There, Abram, and Isaac go up to sacrifice, and by the time they got to the top of Mount Moriah, it's there that Abram saw the ram in the thicket. How about had they said at the bottom of Mount Moriah, he never would have seen the ram up there. So Abram had to get from the bottom to the top of Mount Moriah. Many of us, in order for us to see what God is trying to show us, you got to move in order to see. Somebody say back at me, you got to move in order to see. We're trying to see some things that because of where we're standing, you can't see them. But when you move, your perspective changes. Your lenses now shift because you're now seeing things from a different angle. They saw it, and it helped them believe. St. Augustine said it like this: faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe. There comes a moment in all of our lives that we have to step out on faith, my friends. If 2020 hadn't shown us anything else, it's shown us that the just shall live by faith. We're not going to live by what we can see, by what we see in our bank account, what we see in our friends and associations and fellowships. No, we have to live by our faith in God and God alone. And listen, y'all, it's sadly said, but for many of us, our faith hasn't been strong enough. Because we've been trying to satisfy the drought in our lives by doing other things. Domestic violence is on the rise right now. The consumption of alcohol is on the rise right now. Because we've been trying to find other things to fill those voids because we don't want to look at life through the lens of the Spirit of God. We want to look at life through the lens of what we want to see through, how our family sees things. But no, as believers, as God's sons and daughters, we must see through the lens of faith and know what I see right now is only the reality when I look through the lens that God has given me. So in order to see what you believe, you got to move to get there. So here they are. They go from the outside of the city to in the city, and they find Jesus. Look at the text says, and when they saw him, what do? They spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. So now listen, if I move to see something, that means I'm going to start talking about it, right? So look there at verse 18. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. So if I move to see it, and I see it, now I'm going to say something about it. So write this down. Say what you believe. We've gone from move because you believe, seeing what you believe. Now say what you believe. Now, again, if we're going to live by faith and we're going to believe, it produces something out of us. So now our rhetoric is different. Because we have seen the manifestations of God's prophecy. Are you with me? Say what you believe. Our words must be convincing to those that are listening to us. I'll step to the edge this morning and say the reason why there are people in our spheres that are still as carnal as they are is because our words are not convincing because our actions are not believable. Think about it. Do people believe that we are Christians? Do they believe that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world? Do they believe because of what we say and how we live, or because we're wishy-washy, they don't really have to, they don't really have to believe because we don't fully believe? Listen, you can rent a plane. You can buy a pilot's outfit. You can look the part. But just because you rent a plane and buy an outfit doesn't mean that you can fly it. All right. You can build a kitchen. You can have all the latest appliances in the kitchen. You can have the freshest of all the vegetables. All the meats, top sirloins, lobster straight out of England, New England. You can have all that, but it does not make you a chef. You can quote all the scriptures you can. You can look the part of a Christian. You can wear the clothes of a Christian, but it does not make you one. My friends, the question I remember my dad always asking, is there enough evidence out there to convict you as a Christian? Is there enough evidence? Because if we believe it, that is what we must start confessing. That is where we must begin to say is what we believe about Jesus Christ. And my friends, let's just be honest. It's just us here this way. Let's be honest. This is where the church grows silent, because we are loud about everything else. We're loud about what we like and what we don't like. Some of our siblings are loud about Black Lives Matter. I don't like it, or I do like it. We're loud about believing these social theories. We're loud about all that. But when it comes to talking about Jesus Christ, we're like, well, now listen, you just be nice and be sensitive. And you all right. No. Do you believe? We accept all kinds of banter and all this stuff going around. We're on social media, comebacking our brothers and sisters, all this. But we're not talking about what really matters. And that is Jesus Christ. You ought to be able to say what you believe. Paul says, "But I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." You see, we recognize that there is power in our rhetoric. There is strength in what we say. So if we believe in Jesus Christ, we don't have time, nor do we have the bandwidth to fuss with folks about all this other stuff. We confess Jesus as Lord, and that's it. So many of us, we're spending time arguing about things, and we won't even sit down and have a conversation about it. But we'll send 350 letters or less to refute or to hang on what we say we believe. And if you don't believe what I believe, that means you must be wrong, because I'm right. You got to say what you believe. So the great challenge for us is, as we're writing down our belief statements, you've got to hold fast to what you say you believe. We do not know what 2021 is going to deliver to us, just like we didn't know what 2020 was going to deliver. Some of them prophesied, a lot of them prophesied. And so we don't know what God is up to. We don't know how God is going to respond to the illegitimate actions of humanity. We don't know what God is going to do. What we do know is what God has already said. And it's what God has said that we have to hold on to. If you don't know the promises of God, I understand why you keep falling into these diverse places, because you just don't know what your Father has said. We've got to get into the Word so that we can repeat what has already been said to us. If we're going to live in this belief system, that means that something should be produced from us. And what ought to be produced? We ought to start talking different. Those saints didn't have a whole lot of theology and all that in their system, but they knew something. They said, "I looked at my hands, and my hands looked new." I started talking, and my grandmama said, "I had a new talk." When you literally have an encounter with Jesus Christ, something different is produced out of your life. So you gotta say what you believe. You see it, you move to it. Now start talking about it. Look at what happened. We read it already. The text says, when they saw him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said. Listen, there are two areas of amazement here. There is an amazement from the people because the shepherds said it. I've already explained that they were at the bottom of the social totem pole. And they are amazed, not only that the shepherds said it, but what the shepherds had to say. Everybody in the Jewish culture knew about a Savior being born. So God entrusted these shepherds to let everybody know not only was he going to be born, but he's here. My friends, if you don't have nothing else to say, you should be able to talk about Jesus Christ, that power that is alive in you. That's why John goes on to say in 1 John, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We have the revelation of God's prophecy living inside of us. We have the power. I know you don't like to be said. I know it's 2020, but I'll say it anyway. The power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So we've learned to not only move, not just see it, but say it. Unless I hold you too long. Even after all this, after all we have experienced in 2020, some of us will still be reluctant and slow to take some time and study God's promises, to study God's word. We would rather know what everybody, what all the commentators are saying regarding sports and politics than we would to know what God has already said about our lives in this world. If you're going to say the right thing, you got to know the right thing. If you're going to know the right thing, that means you got to study God's word. Yeah, we can't get away from it. We have to spend time to know God's word so that we can say what you believe. I'm going to move on, but I will say this, that many of us, this is why we keep falling in the same place. It's because we haven't spoken the truth about that situation. We haven't found God's word and how God's word speaks to us about that particular issue. And since we haven't taken the time to learn it, we keep falling in the same place, getting weak in the same place every weekend. Because we have not attached God's word to that issue. Does that make any sense for us? So we've got to know it in order to say it. Lest I hold you too long. Look at verse number 19. It says, but Mary treasured up all these moments, all these things, and pondered them in her heart. Once again, but Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. So here you have these shepherds out going out and spreading the word about Jesus. But Mary, there's a pause here. But Mary treasured in her heart all these things and pondered them in her heart. So this was a delicate moment for Mary. I would step and say that this was a monumental moment for Mary. And I can see your wheels turning saying, Mac, well, why is it monumental? It's monumental because Mary took a moment. She stepped back. And she considered what God had done in her and through her. And she was in awe. She was amazed. It was a wow moment. You see, one of the joys that we have in our salvific journey is that God gives us a moment once we complete an assignment to take a step back. Now, this step back is not a step back to say, look at what I did. It's not a step back to celebrate ourselves or pat ourselves on our own backs. No, it's a step back to see what God did in spite of me, through me. So, we talked about moving, we talked about seeing, we talked about saying. There's a place in our lives to reflect on what you believe. Here Mary is. She takes a moment and she reflects on what she believed from the get-go. Now understand, y'all, this was not just an overnight thing. This was at least 9 months long. And that's how long it takes for the baby to incubate, so there was at least 9 months. So in these 9 months, you know, Mary experienced a whole lot of stuff with her physical body changing, hearing the rhetoric of the town of Nazareth, those that did not support her, lying on that man Joseph. He was a good man. She lying on him. You know how they talk. Enduring the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, getting to Bethlehem and having somewhat, maybe some disappointment that she has to give birth to what she believes is the Savior of the world in a barn. And all these things happen, and when it's said and done, she takes a moment and she treasures up all these things. Wow. So Mary puts this in a certain part of her heart, certain part of her brain, to always reflect on not only the moment of delivering the baby, but all that she experienced with God sending the angel to talk to her. You see, Mary has to have this set aside in her heart and mind, because she's going to later on experience this same baby being killed 33 years later. And so it's because she treasured this when the baby was born, she could endure seeing her child crucified 33 years later. My friends, as God speaks to us, and as God manifests and fulfills his word over our lives, we've got to hold fast to these moments that we have encountered. We've had a theophany moment with God. You have to hold fast to it, because there are people around you that are trying to talk you out of it. You know, it really didn't happen that way. How are you going to tell me it didn't happen that way? I lived through it. When you step out on faith and some months, days, years later, you see that God delivered, don't let anybody diminish your testimony, what God did in your life. God allowed Mary to experience this because she needed to hold on to this years later. Despise not your humble beginnings. Hold on to all the rough hills you had to climb to get to where you are today. It ought to be a friendly reminder that if God did it for me then, God will continue to do it for me when I need it the next time. So here Mary is. She's reflecting on what she believed. When was the last time you took a moment to reflect on the goodness of the Lord? As we close out 2020, I challenge you today sometime, take a moment, just reflect on how good God has been to you. Reflect on the moment that, on the thought that if it had not been for the grace of God. And as I look back at my own life, here I am, my wife and I, we had this COVID-19. And I can reflect on going through that virus in my body. And I'm thinking about what I've seen on the news, on the news and social media with people dying. And I'm thinking, am I gonna die? And now I can look back and say, God, look at what you did in spite of me. That's why they came along and said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, when you think about all that God has done, this is a great time to raise your voice and at least tell God, thank you for this, Lord. You ought to say something about it as you reflect on what you believe. Again, if you don't know your core belief system, you're going to fall for anything. You won't know what to celebrate God for. But when you know that you know that you know all that you know that you know you know, you know nobody deserves the praise and the glory but our Savior. So not only must you move because you believe, not only must you see what you believe, not only must you say what you believe, but you must also reflect on what you believe. But Mary treasured in her heart all these things. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Take a moment, everybody, and reflect and ponder on the things that God has done. And allow them to lead you to the place. Verse number 20 says this. The shepherds returned glorifying God and praising God. Glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they were told. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard, all the things they had seen, which were just as they were told. Finally today, as we continue to ask the question, do you really believe? Our belief system is supposed to produce something out of us. So as you close out 2020 and step into 2021, if you believe, you ought to be moving towards what you believe. As we close out, if you believe, you ought to be moving so that you can see what you say you believe. If you believe, you not only should be moving so you can see, you ought to be able now to say what you believe. be able to express what you believe. And if you're going to be able to say it and God allows you to experience it, now you ought to be able to reflect on all that you say that you believe. And then we get to this point now, because of all the movements of our belief system, now we're ready to go and tell. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they were told. This is my final plea for us this morning, is that because of our belief system, we only have one response now. We've moved, we've seen it, we've spoken about it, we reflected on it, now we got to go and tell somebody else about what we say we believe. Now, if you don't believe it, this is not for you. But if you have been declaring that you believe God, and you have believed in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead and you're saved, the response that we have to the world and to God is to go and tell somebody about this risen Savior. And what we see in the following verses, that they named him Jesus. So the shepherds returned and they did two things. They were glorifying, meaning that they were making God's praises bright and glorious. They were glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which was just what they had been told. So listen, the shepherds, these low-class citizens of Bethlehem, they had something to celebrate God about. The town would not have ever seen that God would trust somebody like them. But in spite of themselves and in spite of how they smelled and how whatever task they had as a job, God chose them to tell them about the risen Savior. And so they go and tell, glorifying God and praising God, because everything that God told them through the angel that would happen, it has happened now, because they found this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they found him lying there in a manger. And because everything they had been told is yes, now they turn around and they go and tell the people around them about this man, this baby, this God that they found in Bethlehem. Now, can you see these shepherds running to tell everybody? It says the shepherds returned, so they went back to the place they came from. They didn't go and try to find a brand new audience, try to get some brand new sales. No, they went right back to the same place they came from, and they went back glorifying God and praising God. I don't know what you're waiting on in your life, but God has allowed you to reflect on his goodness. So you ought to make up in your mind that I'm going to go back, and I'm going to go back glorifying God and praising God. When I consider all that God has done in my life, all that God has done in our lives, we have one choice, that we ought to return and go back praising God and glorifying God, because all that was told to them manifested itself in their life. Everything the angel said, it came back and it is so. And the same for our lives. All that God has told us, it shall come to pass. Now you got to find in your heart that you're going to start believing that, that everything God promised you, even as a child when you didn't know that it was God talking to you, all that God said to you, it shall come to pass. You've got to know it. You got to believe it in your heart this morning that our God is a God that cannot lie. And whatever God has prophesied for our lives, it shall come to pass. And the text goes on to say that after the eighth day, they circumcised the baby and they named him Jesus. This is the name that the angel told Joseph. You shall name him Jesus. He is the Son of God. And from that day till now, over 2,200 years later, people don't like us calling on the name of Jesus. They don't mind you saying George. They don't mind you saying Michaela. They don't mind you saying Chandler, Carrington. But when you call on the name of Jesus, people get all upset, because there's power in the name of Jesus. There's hope in the name of Jesus, there is joy. In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, there is healing in the name. There is joy in the name. There is power in the name of Jesus. So I have to ask you the question this morning. Do you believe? That's a question you have to answer for yourself. Do you believe? And by now we all ought to be able to say, I believe. I believe God's word. We ought to all be able to say as one voice, I believe. I believe God's word. When I reflect over my life, we ought to be able to say, I believe God's word. You ought not be ashamed to say it this morning. I believe God's word. When I look back and see all that God has done for me, I believe God's word. When I look back and see all the doors he closed for me, we ought to be able to say, I believe God's word. When we look back and see all the doors he opened for us, we ought to be able to say, I believe God's word. When we consider his hands that's upon us, that's been ordering our steps and guiding our feet, we should all be able to say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. I believe in your word. Lord, yes, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe in your word. For I am not ashamed to tell anybody around me. I trust God and I believe in his word. I put my full weight on him because he's never let me fall yet. I've been living 46 long years and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seen begging bread. I've never seen God's children lying around wondering what's going to happen the next day, because we've learned to trust in Jesus. We've learned to lean on his word. Lord, I believe. That ought to be the word screaming around your home. Yes, I believe. You ought to tell your children to start saying with me. Yes, I believe. It does not matter what the world says around me. Lord, I believe your word. Lord, I believe your promises. Lord, I believe your scriptures. And that's all I'm going to live on is your word. Yes. Yes, 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 I believe God's word, and I wave my banner, because I'm not giving up, but I'm going to lean on God's promises, no matter what happens in 2021. I made the choice and the decision in my mind that I'm going to trust in Jesus. And the reason why we can trust in Jesus all the way is because everything that the Father said that would happen to his son, it happened to his son. He was born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying there in a manger. He lived talking about his own birth, burial and resurrection. But the reason why we can celebrate this morning is because early Sunday morning, the reason why we can shout for joy this morning, because early Sunday morning, the reason why we can wave our hands this morning, because it was early. Sunday morning, he rose with all power, with all power, with all power, all power in his hands. So I'm not ashamed to say it. I believe. You ought not be ashamed to say it. I believe. since we don't know what 2021 has for us, you got to go ahead and say it now and get your feet firm in it today. I believe that whatever God allows me to go through, God is going through it with me. And I believe his word. I believe on today, if you have not made that public confession for yourself, this is your opportunity to say, God, I believe. Paul goes on to say and tell us in Romans chapter 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you are saved. You wonder why Sunday after Sunday we do all this sweating, we get loud just to declare one thing, that we believe God's word. We believe Jesus the Christ. This is your opportunity today as you close out this year. If you never asked God to be your personal Savior, asking Christ to come into your life, this is your opportunity now.